with a number of you after service this morning as we eat a fellowship meal together. So hopefully you made plans to stay for that. It's always a good time to just sit around and visit with one another. A couple of things before I begin that I forgot to have announced. Next week is camp. We'll be leaving for camp. And so if you haven't signed up, or for one of your children, one of your grandchildren haven't signed up for camp, we still have room on the bus. So just get an application, get it filled out, give it to me. I'll be driving. I'm going to be there all week with the kids. So if you're interested, please see me afterwards. We'll visit about it. I'll give you any of the details that you need to know about that. Along with that, because we don't have as many kids this year going to camp, we're trying to help break up the little bit of the cost. We need, if possible, to take 30 pounds of sausage. That may be a funny request, but we need 30 pounds of breakfast sausage. If you want to help with that, you can see me. The other thing is Thursday night is a League of Their Own makeup. Our last night, we have 4 athletes in that league that's part of this church. And so if you wanted to come out and help with that and be a buddy, we're going to make that game up that was supposed to be last week during the tornado scare, but we're going to do it Thursday night at 5:30 at the ball fields. And if you are interested in being a buddy, please let me know or call Holly. Probably the best thing is to call Holly, but you can let me know as well. If you just want to show up and watch and be a part of it, we would love for you to be there and support our kids. It is a wonderful thing to be a part of that league. This morning, Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and open your Bible, we're going to be in the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Ephesians is a wonderful letter Paul wrote. And as we began studying this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, I'm not going to have time, or not going to really be available the next few Sundays because of camp, because of this Sunday no evening service. So I'm just going to do a little bit on Sunday morning of what we were looking at on Sunday night. So if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, you missed out on chapter 1, but let me just bring you up to date in a few seconds. The Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote talking about the importance and the glory of the church. And he begins in chapter 1 talking about the foundation of the church, that the foundation of the church is founded in the eternal purpose of God. God planned the church in eternity. It wasn't a second afterthought or anything like that. The church was planned before any of us were ever even born. God planned it in eternity. We talked about it. Paul lays this out. And the next thing he talks about in chapter 1, he talks about Christ being the head over all things for the church. Gil just read that passage that talked about that just a few moments ago, the end of chapter 1. And he said Christ was put in this place as the head of everything for the church. Now, you know, in Colossians, it talks about when he's writing to the church in Colossae, he says that Christ is the head of the church. But Paul talks to the church at Ephesus, and he says he's the head over all things for the church. And so he's laying this foundation. He's trying to teach this the church here at Ephesus that the church was planned for. The church is very important, and he's going to let us know about the glory of the church all through this letter. So we get to chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Paul's going to lay out, and he's going to really basically talk about the spiritual, a basis for the spiritual life in one church. And he's going to talk about that spiritual life to us. Look at the first 3 verses with me. And he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." He says, now you were dead. I want you to remember where you once were. He's talking to the church. He says, I want you to remember that at one time you weren't where you are right now. Now, I know that the church was planned in eternity. Paul lays that out. And Christ is ahead of everything for the church. And we need to remember that as he develops these thoughts through here. But he says, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. Because we were walking, we formerly were walking in these things. This is what we did. This is the life, if you will. This is the life that we chose in this world to live in. Death, trespasses, sins. That's where we are. That's where we were, excuse me, as he's talking to the church. According to what? He says, according to the course of this world. Now, you know what the word course is, and maybe you think of it like I do, I don't know, but I think of a course as something that's laid out for us. If you are in cross country and you're running, there's a course you have to follow. Now, I wasn't in cross country, but I know I watched Hayden run it and some others in the past run cross country. But there is a course. And there are times that people are going along that course and they get sidetracked and they think this is the course, but they got off of the course and they're disqualified. But think about the word course. And he said, you are about this course of this world. And so there's this course, there's this place, this trail that we follow. Maybe it's a golf course and you're going from hole one to hole two. And if you try to get off and someone will stop you and say, no, 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 that's not where you're going. Come back over here. Stay on course. But he says, we were formerly here. We were dead in our trespasses according to the course of this world. According to the things that this world had for us, we were walking down this course and we were dead. According, not only the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air. He's talking about Satan. What Satan has for us, he's developed this course. He's the one that this world is following. And we were there too. That's where we live. That's where we walk. That's where we were. And of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, he lays that all out, and that's a pretty ugly picture. But he says in verse 3, among them we too formerly lived. That's where we were. That's where we lived. That's where we did our day-to-day life. That's what we were involved in. That's the kind of hope that we had. And that's not much hope, is it? Who are we? We are the church. That's who he's talking to, the church. We, the church, once lived there. Now, not the church, but we who are the church used to live there. He's trying to draw a stark contrast of where we were, what the world looks like, and who we are. The call of God, the church. We were lost, and we were living by the power of this world. Bleak existence, hopelessness. This is where we were, where we lived, where we walked. But, he says, now look with me. Next, from verse 4 through verse 10, I want to show you three things that he talks about the church. Here's the life. We have this life because of something that God has done. And so, he says in verse 4 through 7, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's providential power has been given to us. He says, but God... you were here, we lived there, we walked day to day, we were on this course, but God, he's changing everything. He said, I want to remind you of something. Look, but God, because he's rich in mercy, God, because of his great love, what did he do? But God, but what? He said, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. We were dead in our trespasses, our sins. We were hopeless. We were in that place on that course, and he took us off of that course. He took us away from all of those things, and he made us alive in Christ Jesus. No longer are we dead. No longer are we like the world. No longer do we live there. No longer do we travel on that course, but we have a different one. But not only did he make us alive, he said he raised
us up with Him. And He seated us with Him in Christ Jesus. Christ gave His life. We know that. We know the story of the gospel.
Christ gave His life. He was sacrificed on the cross because He chose to do it. He chose to fulfill the law's demands of perfection, to give the one-time perfect sacrifice that's going to fulfill the law. We know all of those things. Christ did that, and then He was buried, and God raised Him again from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. He has fulfilled everything, all the prophecies that were foretold in the Old Testament were going to come about, and He did that. And so here Paul's talking, and he said, God made us alive in Christ. He raised us up with Him, just like He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him there. He raised us, and He seated us with Him, with God, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we're part of this world, this course of this world, Paul says, we have nothing to do with God's kingdom. We don't understand what the church is all about. We don't even grasp anything to do with it. But when He brings us out of that world and we are brought into the light and the mystery is revealed and He's raised us from the dead and He's given us life and He's seated us with Him, all of a sudden, His kingdom starts making sense. The church starts making sense. This is the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a building. This building doesn't matter. If this building were gone, and I don't want the building to be gone, but if God saw fit to destroy this building, wipe it out, level it, and there's nothing here but a parking lot, the church is still here. This building has nothing to do with the church. Every time you look in the mirror, you're looking at the church. Here's a church where it is so, so important that we grasp and we understand this. We, God raised us, God made us alive, God seated us, His church, in Christ Jesus, with Him. God has the power. And when we give our life just like Christ did and die to that old course, we say, I'm through. I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to be a part of this world anymore. I'm talking about being led on the course that defines our steps every day. When I don't want to be there anymore, and I give my life up, and I'm buried in Christ, and I'm raised by God to walk a new life, here we are. God makes us alive, seats us with Christ, raises us in Christ Jesus. Us, the church, who were once dead and separated and hopeless, have now been made alive in Him. God's providential power is extremely important to bring about and to understand the glory and the importance of the body of the church. And so God's power is ours. Secondly, He says in verses 8 and 9, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one could brag. God's providential gift. What is His gift? Think about this. He says, we have been saved by what? We have been saved by grace. There is nothing in this world you can do or I can do to merit our salvation. God gave it to us as a free gift. Providentially, He gave Christ for us to redeem all of us back to Himself. He gave us this gift of grace. God's providential gift is ours. Well, He says, this grace has saved us. What does it save us from? Do we get it? Do we understand what we've been saved from? You look at this world and you think of the chaos and the hope that's in this world is what? Nothing. It is hopelessness. And so we've been saved from this world that is filled with sinfulness, controlled by the powers that be. God defeated those powers forevermore through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We no longer live there. We no longer belong to that course. We no longer belong to that kind of hope. Or hopelessness, but God has brought about salvation by the grace through given to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. God's great providential gift, grace. We talk about grace, I think, in our lives, but we sometimes just don't fully get exactly what it is. And how many times do we say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. I know there was nothing that I could do. I know there was nothing that I have ever done or will ever do that will merit that gift that you've given me. But I sure am grateful for it. I am so grateful that you chose to love me and give me this gift of grace. Thank you for that. God's wonderful and powerful gift. So his providential power, his providential gift, and then in verse 10, it ends this little section of Scripture, is God's providential plan. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God's providential plan. Do you see a plan that he has for his church? Do you see the plan that God has for the body, his body, that Christ is the head over all things for? You think about the powers of this world, and you think about all of those things, and how God defeated all of those things for us through Christ Jesus, and you think about the gift that he gave us, and then you start thinking, hopefully, what is the plan? Why did God do the things that he did? Why does God give us? Why are we here? And he says, we are his workmanship. Now, you think about passages through Isaiah and Jeremiah and even Paul when he's talking to the church at Rome, and he talks about the potter. Do you remember those passages? And he says, he's kind of given us at least a picture, a mental picture of the potter sitting at a wheel. And I don't know if you've ever done any of that clay stuff, and the table is spinning, and the potter is working with the clay, and he's molding it, and he's shaping it, and it starts out with what? Just a big clump of clay. And you look at it, and you think, I'm going to drink out of that. Or I'm going to store my flowers. I'm going to make something decorative, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to serve a purpose. And sometimes we may look at that and go, that does not look like a cup. That does not look like a plate. That does not look like a vase or a vase or however you want to describe it. And I can't see anything in that but a clump. But the potter sees perfectly the clay and what it's supposed to be. And so he begins spinning the wheel, and slowly but surely he begins making that clump round. And he might add a little bit of water, and he might just pinch it a little bit, or maybe use a tool on it to make a little cut or a shape in it, and he keeps spinning and he keeps working on it. And slowly but surely it begins taking a form. And before long, as he continues to work on it, he wets it again and he does all the things he needs to do to shape that thing. And he says, we are his workmanship. God is shaping us into who we're supposed to be. And he looks at his church and he says, my church and my people, my body, and I'm shaping them. You're my workmanship, and I'm changing you, and I'm doing things among you that you may not understand, and you may not even understand what I'm going to do with you individually, but I'm working on you. And our kids sing this song, and I don't know if it was Cheryl that taught the little ones this or not, but God's still working on me. And I love that, listening to those kids, because they're hearing something that God is still, I'm not finished yet. God's not finished with me. He's still working on me. And here we go. We are his workmanship. God shapes us in his divine plan. Makes us who he wants us to be, who he created us to be, who we may not understand just yet. But he's working. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, he's not talking about the beginning when God said, let us make man in our image. we're all made in God's image. But he's talking now, he's talking about the church, he's talking about the saved, the body of Christ. And he says, we were created in Christ Jesus. This church that's his, he's created us, he's created this church, he's brought us about. There is no plan about this church outside the church. This world has nothing to do with it. Satan has nothing to do with it. God is the one, through Jesus, he's created us. Who we are, what we're about, what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like, he's created us in Christ Jesus. So there's no changing and there's no shaping us without being in Christ. And so we look at his providential plan for the church, and he starts looking at a whole bunch of people that don't look alike, that all look like they came off of a different wheel, a different potter's wheel. But he has something for each one of us. And as we collectively are part of this body, he looks at us and he says, oh, I have a life for you. I want to bless this world through you, through this body. And I want to love this world through you. And I want you to understand that life is both now and eternally found right here because we're in Christ Jesus. And this church is his. And he says, though, look at the end of this. We're his workmanship, created in Christ for what? For good works. And he says, you're going to make a difference in this world. I've planned it from the beginning. The foundation is in my eternal purpose. I planned this church. You don't have to worry about remaking it, recreating it. I've already done it. I'm telling you, it's perfect. It's made up of imperfect people, but I've perfected you. And in Christ, I have a plan. And if you'll just follow the plan, if you listen to me, I will. I will mold you. I will fashion you. I will make you. I will create you to be the church, the people that I wanted you to be from the beginning, so that good works the world might know. The world might see who I am. The world might understand Jesus Christ. And those good works are going to do what? They're going to unite all believers. And you think about time and time again in passages all through the Bible that he says, a new command I give you, what? Love one another. You choose what's best for someone, what someone needs, and you love them. You take care of them. You bless them. You be a blessing in those lives. But he'll also say, you admonish the weak. And those who are struggling in their faith, you grab them and say, you can't do that. Just like you would a child who wants to go out and play in a busy street, we don't allow that to happen. And he says, you don't let those things happen. That's good. Those are good works. Snatch the erring. Visit widows and orphans in a time of their distress. Over and over, good works. This church, these believers, we have been created in Christ for good works, to make a difference in this world. This church is supposed to be known about good works. That's what God created this church and added us to it, so that the world would know, world would see a picture of our Lord through what we choose to do. And the very last thing he says, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in. You are to make a choice. Is God really providentially? Is his power in your life? Have you accepted the power of God in your life? Have you accepted the free providential gift of God through Jesus Christ? Do you, have you accepted the plan, God's providential plan for you in this church? Have you accepted that? Are you ready for that? Have you believed in him, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, so that we would live in those plans that God has for us? Are you living in his plans? Are you living, accepting this that God has done, created for you and for me? The basis of life. The basis of life in this church is in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ, you have no part of the Lord's church. If you haven't given yourself, if you haven't died to that old self and said, I don't want to live that way anymore, and you have not immersed, been immersed and put into Christ and let God raise you from the dead to create you, His workmanship in Christ Jesus, we're not part of that church. And it is so vital that we're part of His kingdom, a part of His body. Where are you this morning? Are you part of His plan? If you haven't acknowledged Christ as the Lord of your life, you can't even begin to be in God's plan. God wants you to be a part of that plan. He gave Christ so that you could be, so that you could understand and you could be created and be part of His workmanship in this lost and dying world. And that you can feel the difference, you can know that difference, but also the people that you love will come to know that as well. Have you given your life to Him? Are you part of His plan? If not, why not? Why aren't you part of His plan? You can be. There's no reason to walk out of these doors this morning not being a part of God's plan, because He's given it to you. His gift, not mine, His. The grace is yours if you want it. If you want that this morning, it's available to you right now while we stand and we sing together.
A voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast.